Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. We thank you right now, Lord God, for Ever Increasing Word Training Center. I thank you for each and every student who's online listening, Lord God. And I trust, Lord God, that what they need, Lord God, I have that word in my mouth for them, Lord God. Hallelujah. I just yield completely and totally unto you and your Holy Spirit, Lord God. And I thank you right now, Holy Spirit. I'm trusting that you're going to show up in this class session, because if you don't show up, I'll fall flat on my face. I yield completely and totally unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, class, we're going to continue and finish off on our lesson that we started 3 weeks ago on how to reap honor rewards, a harvest from sowing honor seeds. We talked earlier in the last two sessions about number one, we talked about the calling and then the commissioning. What we're going to do, we're going to finish up and we're going to be talking about the other five steps of reaping honor rewards, which is being competent, having good conduct, knowing continuity, having confidence, and also control. Amen. So we're going to get right into this lesson, and I'm going to try to go through it and make sure we cover each one of these five steps in the detail that it needs to have. All right. The third way to produce, or the third step to reaping the rewards of honor, is being competent. I'm going to read a scripture from Hebrews 5, 13 and 14. It says, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So here it's talking about strong milk, you know, belonging to those who are full age. So in the area of being competent, you must be mature. The only way to be competent is begin to grow into your maturity. And that's so very important. When you were a child, you spec as a child. You know, you thought as a child. You reasoned as a child. Now that you're a man or a woman, it's time to put childish things away. Even from a spiritual perspective, we need to grow up spiritually so that we can align ourselves properly to the plan and the purpose of God. Amen. To be competent in ministry and build honor, you must put away childish things and walk in spiritual maturity, growing up in Christ in all things. How can God give you strong spiritual meat if you're still sucking on a bottle spiritually? We have to grow up and develop spiritually and mature that we might be an asset to the kingdom of God. And one way that we grow up is by exercising the gifts, the talents, and the abilities that God has given us. One of the things that helped me along in ministry in the early years of when I first became a member of Word of Life Christian Center was, number one, the first thing I did, I joined the church the last week in December of, I think it was 1989, and the first August of 1990, if I'm not mistaken, Ever Increasing Word Training Center started its charter class. Only 8 months after I had joined, Apostle talked about starting what you're in now. Now it's called Ever Increasing Word Training Center, but initially it was Word of Life School of Ministry. The Lord began to deal with me strongly about being a student in the class. I didn't turn in my application till the very last day, but I knew that was God's plan and purpose for my life. That helped develop me, and it got me on the road of study, development, and maturity in the things of God. Soon after I graduated, 2 years later, was in Apostle's office asking him a question. You've heard this before about a matter. He answered that question, but then he told me that he wanted me to get involved in prison ministry. And the thing that he said to me that really stuck home was, you need to begin to develop your gift. One way of doing that is going out into the prison and ministering to the inmates. So I said all of that to say how important it is to exercise that gift. Ministers and Ministry of Helps Workers have to be competent in their gifts. So their gifts have to be developed. The only way a gift can be developed, it must be exercised. Whatever in ministry that you can find your hands to do, you need to become a part of that. You know, working in the Ministry of Helps, helping out children's church, just helping out parking lot attendant, doing whatever. And you say, well, these things aren't not necessarily minister related, but as you become faithful to the vision and the plan of God that God calls you to, your faithfulness and your stewardship will bring about promotion, because the Bible says promotion doesn't come from the east nor the west, but promotion comes from God. So when you're faithful and just whatever your hand can find to do, get it involved in that, God is now going to bless you with more and give you more responsibility, to the point where now you begin to walk directly into your calling, your gift, and your anointing, and God can use you because he knows now, because you have exercised the gifts that he has given you and developed them, that now he can trust you, because over a period of time you have proven yourself to be trustworthy. And that's so very important. Let me move on. We then develop the kind of programs that sharpen the giftedness of individuals and then minister into their strengths. Now listen up. If you do not minister into their strengths and develop their weaknesses, in moments of pressure, their incompetence can release dishonor. You know, gifts and ministry blessings need to be developed. There's going to be mistakes that are made, there's going to be things that happen, but it's all in the process. But if you don't step forward and start getting busy about the things of God, you're never going to develop spiritually like you should. Okay, listen up. This can happen by you saying the wrong thing, not speaking, or speaking too quickly about a matter. One of the things I've learned is be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And that's been a valuable lesson. You know, whenever I'm learning and developing in a new era of ministry, I'm quick to hear what the Holy Ghost is saying, what my man of God is saying, whoever is over me is saying. You know, a lot of times people like to show what they can do, but I always picked this up years ago. You can never learn anything from what you already know. So when you got your mouth open and you bragging or saying certain things and how God has used you, you're not learning from that at all. But when you listen and be quick to hear, slow to speak, and the scripture says slow to wrath, now God can begin to show you certain things. Some of my greatest lessons was just being quiet, sitting, listening, and learning. Amen. So that's very important. Every individual has been endowed with gifts, but at the same time, inherent in each of us are weaknesses, inadequacies, and levels of incompetence, limitation, lack, frailties, and vulnerabilities in our own ability, which is not a bad thing, because in your vulnerabilities, in your insufficiencies, in areas where you feel like I just can't do this, that's when you have to learn how to yield to God and recognize that he is the source of your strength. I couldn't do what I'm doing in my own ability, but I'm not in my own ability. I'm operating through God's ability. I'm yielding to his spirit. And when you begin to learn how to do that and do it competently, you cannot help but bring honor to your man of God, bring honor to yourself, bring honor to God. And that's what it's all about. Amen. It is so very important that there is levels of accountability for young ministers or someone that they can answer to as a spiritual covering and protection. Don't go out there by yourself. We talked about that last week. You need a covering. You need someone who can speak into your life, a ministry, a pastor, and somebody who's connected. It's not just having a pastor, which is a blessing, but make sure that your pastor is connected to apostolic government or to an apostle or a prophet that's under apostolic government so that that flow of anointing can come down and you'll get everything that you need. I'll never forget something the Lord shared with me years ago. I probably shared it in my previous classes. But when I first got out of college or was about to graduate, my desire was to go to Rhema Bible Training Center. Matter of fact, I had filled out an application. My fiance, who's now my wife, we were both going to get married and move to Tulsa. And in the process of writing a letter to her one spring, right before I graduated in 1980 or 1981, the Spirit of the Lord arrested me, and I couldn't physically finish writing the letter. My hand just started shaking, started trembling. The Holy Ghost began to speak to me and let me know that this is not my will for you. You know, it's not my desire, it's not my will for you to leave and to go to Tulsa, but to stay in Louisiana. I took that, yes, I took that as a no, but I also took it as, well, maybe I'm not going to be used in ministry to any capacity. We got married, we stayed here, and we went to one church, but then the Lord, you know the story, led us to Word of Life. Right after he led me to Word of Life, like I said, 8 months after we joined, all of a sudden this desire to go to ministry school, because Apostle Thompson was starting his own school of ministry, came up. This is all about being competent. I answered the call. I went to the school, graduated, got involved in prison ministry, and been doing that for close to 30 years now. But the point I want to emphasize is the fact that it was all a part of exercising and developing and being trained up in ministry, you know, hearing the voice of God and answering the call. But at the same time, God led me to the right brook where I could be fed and be nurtured. Word of Life Christian Center. As apostle grew, I grew. As the ministry grew, I grew. You know, and so I have a strong, solid foundation under me because I didn't just go out on my own. You know, I'm still hooked up, and I will always be hooked up and connected because I know the importance of that. I'm going to read something here. Under unreasonable pressure, demonic attack, jealousy, letdown, if there's not protection provided for ministry or ministers or individuals, they could leave too early and leave without the blessing. Leave and disconnect for no good clear reason, and I've seen that happen. And that brings a curse upon the individual. It brings dishonor, and it could create famine. It could create barrenness in your life, you know, and just a drought, because you need to be somewhere where the water of the Spirit is flowing, you know, and where things are progressive and moving forward. And that will help you be competent in ministry. Amen. All right. And understanding a covenant is so very important. Understanding the importance of a covering, getting under a covering, and staying put where God has placed you. Let me move on. Ministers need someone to speak into their lives. We're still talking about being competent. Speak into their lives. Somebody, someone of spiritual authority and rank, an apostolic leader, a spiritual father who can speak into their lives that can help eliminate weaknesses. This is what a covenant is designed to do. A covenant, when you cut covenant with your pastor or your prophet or your apostle, or you submit to them as a spiritual father, you're really cutting covenant with them. Covenant is designed to eliminate weaknesses, you know, and it's so very important that you enter into covenant with your pastor. You know, His strengths become your strengths. Any weaknesses you have because of the connection that he has with his apostolic father, now you have all that at your disposal. And that's so very important. And you have legacy flowing through you from an apostolic point of view. And you can't help but be successful. Let me move on. But anyway, you have to be competent. And the competency, only way you can be competent is by exercising that gift, getting involved. Whatever your hand finds to do, do that. Amen? Let me move on. The fourth way to build honor is to have good conduct. That's so very important. Be of good conduct as a minister of God. I'm going to read from Ephesians 5, 3 and 4. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor gesturing, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. It's so very important to sustain from all appearance of evil. You know, I used to have this illustration. You know, I don't have a problem putting my track shoes on and running from anything that's going to slow my progress down spiritually. You know, you have to know and you know, bite, swallow. Now, you shouldn't be operating in pride, but a lot of times people say bite your pride or swallow your pride and just get out of there. So you want to stay clear from any type of temptation. You know, I've always heard the illustration, you know, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can sure stop it from putting a nest and resting in your head. So that's something that we have to learn how to do. Let me read Ephesians 5, 3 and 4 from the Amplified Bible. It says, but immorality, sexual vice, and all impurities of lustful, rich, which is best, more or less wasteful living, or greediness must not even be named among you, as it fits the proper, as is fitting and proper among saints of God, consecrated people. So those things should not even be a part of our lifestyle. We need to shun. The Bible says shun every appearance of evil. Run, you know, leave it. And as you mature and as you grow, the Holy Spirit is going to, if you're sensitive to God and know how to yield, he's going to alert you to any apparent things that may try to tempt you or pull you off in a different direction. He's done it to me several times where he would tell me to keep my distance from certain people who their motives were not intended for my good. You know, and even in one situation, he said, you know, this in particular individual was going to be trouble. I stayed away, kept my distance for 6-7 years. After a period of time, I kind of laxed a little bit, and all of a sudden, you know, what he said, I saw it begin to manifest, and I had to repent and get back on track. Didn't do anything wrong, but one thing I've learned about the Spirit of God is that when he speaks, that's eternal. It doesn't have a statute of limitation of what he said. When he said this particular individual was going to be trouble, and eventually, you know, you become friends and you just socializing, but that person was seeing a little bit more than what I was seeing. And when that was revealed, the Lord said, I told you what did I tell you? So, but anyway, that's very important. Let me move on. All right. It's so important that you ask God to give you an understanding heart, you know, and operating godly wisdom. Ask God for wisdom and an understanding heart. Okay, I'm coming out of 1 Kings 3 and 9. It says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? Now, this is what David prayed, you know, when God had anointed him to be king over Israel, to give him an understanding heart. And he was the king over, you know, God's people. But even in the area of ministry or up and coming ministry, we can still pray that prayer and ask God to, Lord, give me an so that I can discern between good and evil, people's motives, having a spirit of discernment. So that when somebody or something or a situation crop up, your name won't even come up as a becoming saint involved in a scandal or some scheme, tricks. The Bible says, we should not be ignorant of Satan's devices. But if we don't have discernment, we can find ourselves being caught in a snare in the area of bad conduct or around people with bad conduct. My grandmother used to have a saying that bad company will corrupt good morals. You know, when I see somebody with bad, bad company and four-letter words and just free lifestyle, I back away because I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to be named in that situation. Amen. Enough for that. It is very important to ask God for the spirit of discernment and wisdom so we can discern people's motives. Let me move on. Okay. The fifth way of building honor or the fifth step of walking in honor is maintaining continuity. What you mean by continuity means you're keeping it flowing. When something is a continuous process and you want to maintain the continuity of it, not in other words, if you're flying and you're ascending, you want to keep ascending. You don't want to drop off because now you're losing altitude. You want to maintain continuity. You want to keep rising and keep growing and keep progressing. All right. Let me read this here. The fifth way to build honor is to maintain continuity, keeping the progress of ministry flowing and moving forward. That God has started in you. He which had begun a good work in you continue to perform it until the day of Christ. To maintain continuity, you want to keep the progress of ministry flowing and moving forward, that God had started in you. In 2 Timothy 4:2, it says, preach the word, be in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exalt with all long suffering and doctrine. Constantly preaching the word, continuing the things that you have been taught. One way to continue to grow is to always stay in the word, always stay before God, keeping your mind. And we're going to talk about the mind in the area of control. But it's so very important that we have soul control. The Bible says that he'll keep us in perfect peace if we keep our mind stayed upon him. Okay, let me move on. Acts 6:7 says, and the word of the Lord increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests became obedient to the faith. Because the disciples continued in the faith and in the word increased, and many became obedient to the faith. In other words, those who God was calling into ministry or in the ministry of helps, they became obedient to it because the word of God increased. There was a continuity. They didn't. The Bible says, don't let certain things slip. Don't let the things slip which you've heard. When you hear good sound teaching, good sound doctrine, you can't let it slip. Because when you let it slip, some of that continuity is tapering off. That continue forward progress. You always want to be moving forward in ministry. Water in a brook that's not moving becomes stagnant. It begins to stink because it's not flowing. The life dies in stagnant water. But you see a brook where water is flowing and is moving rapidly. It actually, particles that's heavy will fall down to the bottom. And the very top of that water will be crystal clear and clean. We were in the Smoky Mountains a couple of years ago. I brought some friends of mine, and we stayed. We went up into the mountain. We saw some of the mountain streams. One of the brothers actually took a little thermos cup and drunk from it. It was cold. It was in February, about this time of the year. And he said, "Wow, this is some of the freshest water I've ever tasted, just out, you know, in the wild." But it was flowing. It was a fast moving stream. But you find a stream of water that's not moving, that's stagnant, it's gonna stink. It's gonna have an odor. So with all that said, you want to continue to move forward in the things of God. What the apostles started in Jerusalem must continue and increase, and those who are called must become obedient and submit to the fate and answering the call of God upon their lives. Acts 20 and 28 says to take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock which the Holy Ghost have made thee an overseer, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. You know, continue. You know, it says take heed to yourselves and to the flock. When I say flock, I mean, you know, you're talking about a church, and you say, "Well, I'm not a pastor," but whatever capacity you're in, you want to continually feed people and nurture what your pastor is doing. You know, those people who are assigned to me, either in prison ministry or other areas of ministry, I try to always be an encouragement and uplift the standard that my pastor upholds, and I want to see them advance more so than even myself, you know, because I want to see them reach their full potential in Christ, you know. But that's where that continuity, you know, comes in. Amen. Ministers and the Ministry of Health workers need to understand the importance of the continuity of continuation of a generational anointing legacy. You don't need to reinvent the wheel any longer. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Paul, the God of Apostle Thompson wants us to continue to the generational anointing legacy into the next generation. You know, what the Father has started, you know, we must continue. What the fathers have started, you know, what your pastor has started, we must continue, because revelation never ends. The vision should never die. There should be a continuation of that going from one generation to the next. That's where you get generational legacy from. Amen. All right. I've got 10 minutes left. I need to kind of carry on here. All right. Listen up. Any good father always wants their children to take the torch of ministry and advance it further than they could. They now begin to build upon the foundation that their fathers have laid, carrying on the legacy and building upon the foundation of the fathers for the next generation. That's what it's all about. You don't want to reinvent the wheel. You want that thing to continue to go forward. Amen. All right. God is a God of multiple generational blessings. In fact, the most consistent, successful financial dynasties in the world can be contributed to generational vision, planning strategies, and a commitment to adhering to those goals and plans. Don't let go of the vision. Don't let it die. Let it thrive. We should be in a thriving state, not a surviving state. And we should continue to see the plan and the purpose of God that our fathers have started to continue to move on to the next generation. One of the worst things that can happen is when a spiritual father goes home to be with the Lord, his vision dies with him. It should have been that those people who were under him, the sons and the daughters and those followers of him, should take the vision that God has placed in his heart and that he nurtured all those 60, 70, 80 years and now has implanted into his followers, where his followers now could continually to push that forward. Okay, let's move on now to the next area, is being confident. The sixth way to build, or the sixth step of building honor rewards, is you must be confident. And I'm going to read a series of scriptures concerning confidence. Okay, this is 1 John 3, verses 21 and 22. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God, not ourselves. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So when you walk in, number one, righteousness, and righteousness means that you're in right standing with God, your heart should not condemn you. And if your heart is not condemning you, you should have confidence toward God. You know, you always want to have confidence, you know. And I tell people that if you sin and you mess up, ask God to forgive you. Don't never let the sun go down on your wrath. Always get it straight before the sun goes down, and move forward. You know, you might make one back step, but you need to be making three or four front steps, you know, because it's nothing better than having a pure and a clean conscience. Philippians 1 and 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in us will continue to perform it until the day of Christ. Being confident of that thing, that scripture talks about confident, and it also has continuation or continuality in it. Being confident of this very thing, that the God or your spiritual father, whoever started that good work in you, will continue to perform it. God will continue to perform what he put on the inside of you, you know, until the day of Christ. Amen. All right, let's move on. Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14 says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen not rather unto for the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the place, on all the palace, excuse me, and in all other places. Verse 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord wax confident for my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now, let me just read verse 13 and 14 again. Now, this is Paul speaking in Philippians, first chapter, verse 13. So that my bonds, in other words, me being in bonds and stocks and bonds, and I'm, you know, not the financials, but in prison, the chains, the burdens he had to bear in Christ are manifested in all the palace and in all other places. Verse 14, and many of the brethren in the Lord wax or become confident by my bonds, are more bold to speak the word without fear. You know, because of the things that we're learning in this school, because of what God is doing in our midst, we need to be more confident, wax confident, knowing that, you know, God is no respecter of persons. If he does it for our pastor or our spiritual fathers, he can do it for us, you know. And whatever trials or setbacks they might have had and came through, we should wax confident, knowing that, you know, if he did it for them, he can do it for us, you know, because God is no respecter of persons, and we can wax confident and have confidence. And then it says, not only that, but much more bold to speak the word without fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, you know. So we have to have that confidence in what we speak and what we believe, that God is also able to perform it. Amen. All right. The sixth way to build honor is that individuals must possess unshakable confidence. This has to do with their faith. Faith and confidence run hand in hand. Without faith, the Bible says, it's impossible to please God. For they that come to God must believe that he is, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, so we should have unquenchable, unshakable faith, amen, and confidence toward God, because God is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he will make it good. Amen. All right, let me move on. I'm down to maybe 3 minutes, 4 minutes tops. Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith, it's impossible. I just read that, to please God. For he that believeth, you know, well, we're not going to even read it because I don't want to use up more of my time. Ephesians 3, 7 through 11. I'm not going to read it all, but I'm trying to see what I wanted to get to. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ our Lord. Why is this possible? Because he has granted access, boldness, and confidence. And that's really what I wanted to get to in that scripture. Let me find it. Give me a second here. Okay, that's actually verse 13, verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Therefore, I desire that ye faint not in my tribulation for you, which is your glory. Now, that's Paul speaking in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. In whom we have boldness, access with confidence. So God wants us to walk in unshakable confidence. So let's move on now. Here's another scripture that you need to know. Hebrews 10 and 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So don't cast your confidence away. Hold fast to those things that you've been taught, those things that you've learned in this school, or, and take it to heart. Tuck it away in your spirit so that, you know, your confidence will not be shaken. And with the last few minutes I have, the seventh way to build honor is to exercise self-control. Your spirit man needs to be in control at all times. But the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If ye live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So it's very important that we walk in the Spirit. That was Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 25. We need individuals who know how to have self-control, how to control their appetites, their fleshly appetites, their emotions. And that's when you get into the area of soul patrol or soul control, you know, having control of your mind, being not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. One of the ways to have your soul under control is to renew your mind. Alexei, stop. Got 2 minutes left. So it's so very important that we renew our minds to the Word of God so that we don't let our minds cause us to be weary. The Bible says we shouldn't be weary and faint in our mind. A lot of times people faint is because their minds have not been renewed to the Word of God. They start looking at the circumstances, start looking at what they can see with their physical eyes and not look through the eyes of their spirit. Because as a Christian, we should be seeing not only with our physical eyes, but with our spiritual eyes. We should be hearing not only with our physical ears, but more so with our spiritual ears, hearing what the will of the Lord is. And I'm going to read this scripture and we'll probably shut it down. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 25 and 27 through 27 says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it, to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I've preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." So it's keeping your body under control, keeping your mind renewed to the Word of God. That's so very important. The last thing I want to point out is, When Jesus came, he came as a gift. He came as an honor seed. This was the prayer in the Garden of Eden. He said, "Father, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." you know, as having self-control, even though he was in a state of, you know, knowing that he was about to be separated from God and the garden, he was about to go to the cross. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. And he kept his soul under self-control. And with